and a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X 24/7, wherever you get your podcast. Just search for the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. And we want to thank The Law Group. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com for their support of our show this morning. Well, diversity, equity, and inclusion is one step closer to being dead in public institutions in North Carolina. This has been, this whole DEI thing has been a grift and a scam from the start. It is a multi-billion dollar industry by individuals who want to prop up divisiveness, hateful rhetoric, and in the most extreme cases, you've got individuals that are actively pushing discrimination based on things like race, gender, economic and socioeconomic backgrounds. At the worst case, that's what's going on with diversity, equity, and inclusion. It is a multi-billion dollar scam propagated and pushed by the left in order to claim that they're making workplaces, for example, in this case, we're talking about state government and its entities, a more inclusive place to work, a better place to work. And we know the reality of the situation is that DEI creates racial divides, gender divides within institutions, within companies across America. Just within his first days in the Oval Office, President Donald Trump signed in multiple executive orders specifically dealing with diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because it doesn't make things more diverse. It doesn't make things more equitable. It doesn't make things more inclusive. It has the complete opposite reaction when you move away from a merit-based system and giving a job to an individual who is most qualified instead of trying to reach a racial quota or a gender quota, which is what has been rolling out over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years or so. You've really seen DEI make its way to the more national stage. Major institutions, major companies hiring and their practices specifically dealing around DEI. Most private institutions are forcing their employees to take ridiculously absurd diversity, equity, and inclusion training. I mean, it's just, they're stupid. There's nothing that you take away from those trainings at all. I've had to sit through them year after year. Nothing beneficial comes out of these trainings. And unfortunately, we are moving away from a system in our country, at least were until over the last couple of months, there's really been a lot of public outrage against this, moving away from a system where we are judging an individual based on their character. We're no longer doing that. We're specifically judging them and basing them on things that they don't have any control over. Their race, their sex, where they're from, what their socioeconomic background is. That's a really sad sign of the times. When you look at all of the civil rights movements that have taken place over the last 60, 70 years in our country, when you look at all of the work that went on, in North Carolina, a lot of that taking place here. When you look at everything that has gone on, everything in an attempt to erase the racial divides in our country, to erase the lines that blur gender so that you're not actively discriminating against men or women in the workplace. You look at all of the work that has gone on to do that, for all of that to come to a screeching halt, so that Democrats can prop up certain groups of individuals, shoehorn them into positions that in some cases they are not qualified for, all in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion. House Bill 171 was introduced, has been discussed and introduced in the North Carolina General Assembly over the last couple of months, and the bill as written would ban the promotion, funding, and implementation of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs within state agencies, specifically including hiring practices, training programs, and more importantly, the establishment of DEI offices. One of the main sponsors of this, Representative Brendan Jones, the Republican out of Columbus County, is also the House Majority Leader, has very quickly become one of my favorite representatives in the North Carolina General Assembly. This is a lengthy clip. It's about 9 minutes. I'll break into it. He described the bill in detail, described why Republicans in the General Assembly were bringing this forward in what turned out to be a multi-hour debate from Democrats over DEI on the House floor in the North Carolina General Assembly earlier this week. Let's hear what Brendan Jones, one of the primary bill sponsors, has to say.
We've seen our institutions drift. We've watched government move away from excellence toward agenda hiring, favoring narratives over qualifications, checking boxes instead of resumes. Bureaucracy has grown, not to serve, but to sort, dividing people by race, sex, background, and calling it progress. It puts an end to the idea that the background should outweigh ability. It stops public jobs, promotions, and contracts from being awarded based on political agendas. And it restores the principle that should have never been lost. Can you do the job? Did you earn it? Are you qualified? This is not controversial. This is common sense. Now let's walk through what this bill actually does, because while others are relying on slogans and emotion, we're going to deal with the principle and facts today.
And this, of course, dealing with the principles and the facts of legislation like this is very hard for the left. Because often when they are discussing political issues, they're incapable from divorcing their feelings from the facts of legislation, right? You see that with things like the Opportunity Scholarship Program in North Carolina, the opportunity to give every single individual in the state, regardless of their income level, the opportunity to attend a private school if public schools don't work for them, if their child is not getting what they need out of a public school. That should be an effort that is applauded. However, Democrats whip it around and bend a pretzel into this idea that, oh, well, this is stealing money from public schools. And because Democrats can't really argue the merits of why it's a bad thing for people to go to public schools, so they make up a fake argument that public schools are being hurt. Public schools are being defunded by the Opportunity Scholarship Program, which is not the case at all. And you'll see as we go through the program this morning and the discussion this morning, it's the exact same thing with DEI. Let's hear more from Representative Jones as to what is actually in this legislation.
Section 1-1 just prohibits the state agencies from promoting, supporting, and maintaining workplace DEI programs. That's the foundation. In practice, it means hiring and promotion decisions must be based on qualifications, not race, not gender, and not a viewpoint. It puts an end to social engineering in HR and to taxpayer-funded gatekeeping based on belief or backgrounds. This section also defines two key terms. First, differential treatment. That's any policy that impairs equal access to opportunity based on identity, unless legally required, job-specific, or reasonable accommodation. It's not radical. It's fairness. Second, DEI training. Under this bill refers to programs that influence decisions based on identity or that promote preferential treatment between groups. It does not include discussions on diversity, culture, or respectful culture. And let me be clear right now. This bill does not ban Black History Month. It does not ban Pride Month. It does not ban cultural celebrations. In fact, it explicitly protects them. What it does stop are mandatory trainings that shame employees, divide teams, and compel ideological conformity. We are not banning equal opportunity. In fact, we're going to restore it. We are simply enforcing the principle already in North Carolina law. Public jobs should go to the most qualified, not the most politically favored. The next section assures that taxpayer dollars cannot be used to fund DEI operations. It prohibits state agencies, local governments, and public schools from using public funds to promote, fund, or maintain these programs.
I'm going to stop Representative Jones right there. There's many facets to the DEI discussion. Right. Obviously, it is a very much a political hotbed of an issue. But in this case, when we're talking about House Bill 171, this is what Representative Jones is speaking on. This happened Wednesday afternoon in the GA. We're talking about state agencies. State agencies that do not have a way to generate revenue. Right? They're not private businesses. They don't sell a product or service that in turn generates revenue for said company. They are state agencies funded wholly, in most cases, by taxpayers in North Carolina. Right? This is government, taxpayer-funded agencies and entities across our state that have programs, hiring practices, policies that are actively discriminating against people based on characteristics that they have absolutely no control over. Contrary to the left's idea that you can just wake up one day and change your gender and become a different person, that's not how things actually work. That's not reality or practicality of anything, right? You don't have any control over what your race is, what your gender is, what your socioeconomic background and past is. You don't have any control over that. But for whatever reason, Democrats, you know, for in many cases specifically dealing with gender, oh, you can just change that stuff overnight. Just, you know, wave a magic wand and the next thing you're trans. Great. We don't want state agencies using taxpayer dollars to promote this kind of radical thinking and radical ideologies. If a private business wants to have diversity, equity, and inclusion in their hiring practices, go nuts. Have at it. Hire whoever the hell you want. I don't care, because I'm not funding your operation. But when state-level agencies are doing that, I have a serious problem, because now I have a vested interest. I'm paying for those agencies to exist. I am in part funding those agencies and the operations of those agencies, like you are. And when you see that those various agencies are actively discriminating against individuals through the lens and under the guise of diversity, equity, and inclusion, it creates a really serious problem. And I don't think there's any role in government, taxpayer-funded entities operating under this manner. I just don't think it makes any sense at all.
Your tax dollars should be spent on public safety, infrastructure, and education, not bureaucratic programs that divide the people by race or background. And this section is careful. It does not touch academic instruction. It does not ban courses, speakers, student organizations. It simply says that public funds cannot be used to give advantages simply on identity. Programs open to all, fine. Preferences based on race or gender? No. We're ending set-asides that pick winners and losers based on traits that people can't control, period. That's it. Section 1.3 is about accountability. Earlier drafts included criminal penalties. We heard you, and we removed them. No one is going to jail. But if a bureaucrat knowingly violates the law, if they keep running programs that the law prohibits, they can be disciplined or fined up to $10,000. That's basic accountability. If public servants won't follow the law, they shouldn't be paid by the taxpayers. And to be clear, these consequences apply to everyone equally. Race, gender, position, none of that matters. Follow the law, you have nothing to fear.
Following the law is a hard issue. Following the law is an issue for the left. Following new leadership is an issue for the left. I mean, how many times over the last, you know, 100 plus days now have we talked about individuals within the federal government who are actively trying to block and actively trying to stop the administration from rolling out their agenda? Now, this is, of course, at the federal level. You have government bureaucrats, individuals who are collecting a paycheck from the taxpayers of the United States of America, that are actively defying the new administration. That's completely unacceptable and inappropriate. You don't work for your ideology. You don't work for your political party. If you are an employee of the state of North Carolina, you work for all citizens. And if you're incapable of working for all citizens, if you're incapable from divorcing your own personal preferences from your work, divorcing your own political ideology from your work, then as Representative Jones says, you're going to face a fine and you need to get out. Regardless of what your position is, whether you're the administrator of an agency or a low-level person in an HR department, the penalties are the same across the board. If this goes into law, this is what needs to be followed and what will be followed across the state of North Carolina. Doesn't matter what your feelings are on it. Doesn't matter whether you think it's right or wrong. We're not talking about right or wrong. We're talking about legislation, following the lawmaking procedure to get something implemented in the state government. Your feelings don't even come into the equation. It's simply about following the law. And the left, as we know, has a really hard time following the law.
Let's address a lot of misinformation that's been going along for the last few weeks. Some opponents of this bill claims that it would allow minority employees to be fired. That is blatantly false and it's insulting. There's absolutely nothing in this bill that permits the termination based on race, sex, or personal characteristics. In fact, doing so would remain illegal both federally and state law. Understand that this bill is not about identity. It's about conduct. Break the law, face the consequences. Follow the law, you're unaffected. That's the standard in every other part of government, and it's going to apply here too. We've also heard the argument, there are no quotas in law, so why do this? That is a legal technicality, but not the reality. I will be first to agree, can't find a statute that says hire based on gender, ethnicity, and race. But in practice, we've all seen job postings require diversity statements, essentially a political litmus test. We've all seen hiring committees pressured to hit demographic targets. We've all seen trainings that stereotype and silence employees based on traits that they can't control. These are quotas in disguise, and they're just as corrosive as if they were written out. Nowhere in North Carolina is this clearer than in our UNC system. Nearly 700 people employed in DEI roles. Over $90 million a year spent on DEI initiatives, which is enough to pay for full in-state tuition and expenses for over 3,200 North Carolina students annually.
Wow.
Hear that one more time. $90 million would put 3,200 students free to them through school. And the research is there to back this up. In 2023, Boston University studies show that DEI training doesn't work. Harvard, Tel Aviv University, researchers found that it's actually making things worse, causing a deeper...
Oh, really? It's making things worse. Wow, what a surprise. Putting individuals through radical DEI trainings that make broad generalizations about people's race and gender is making things worse in the workplace? I can't imagine that would happen. I mean, of course it did. The whole thing is absurd. The whole thing is predicated on the idea. Let's back this up for a second. The entire DEI movement and discussion and argument is predicated on the fact that individuals based on predominantly their race and sex are inferior. That's why the left feels that they need DEI. They believe that you are incapable, based on your race or sex, of getting a job, so they need to give you an upper hand. They need to give you a leg up on the competition because they believe that you're inferior. That's what's rooted in DEI. It is incredibly racist and it is incredibly discriminatory. And it's because this is what the left thinks. This is what the left believes. And so to combat that belief, they have rolled out diversity, equity, and inclusion in nearly every facet of government, in most private businesses, all in the names of equality. Meanwhile, these individuals, again, based on your characteristics, believe that you are or aren't capable of accomplishing certain things. Inherently, DEI is incredibly racist and discriminatory.
Vision. So if DEI influencing hiring, why 700 staffers? Why $90 million? The truth is simple. DEI has created a shadow system, one that undermines equal treatment and sidesteps the law. House Bill 171 brings it to light and says no more. Some ask why now. Folks, as everyone has seen in the media, the tide is turning. Just look, Walmart, Meta, McDonald's, Ford, Lowe's, major companies that once embraced DEI are walking them back. Not because they're extreme, but because they saw the division, they saw the cost, they saw the lawsuits, and the lack of results. States too, Florida, South Carolina, Texas, Tennessee, Utah, North Dakota, Alabama, they've all moved to take away these mandates and restore fairness. Not chaos, but clarity. Not exclusion, but excellence. North Carolina should not be lagging behind, we should be leading. Let me be clear also about some confusion that's been in the media. This bill does not apply to private businesses, churches, or private schools. It does not ban diversity efforts that include everyone. It bans unequal treatment funded by the public. There are no new crimes, no free speech restrictions. This isn't about punishment, it's about fairness. And to those who call this a distraction, I ask, what more principle than fairness? What more essential than making sure public jobs go to the best candidate and not the most politically preferred? It's not a distraction, this is long overdue, and I ask for your support.
Some solid comments there from Representative Brendan Jones, the Republican out of Columbus County, the House majority leader in this discussion as he opened the floor and brought forth this bill to the North Carolina General Assembly earlier this week. And you don't have to go back that far in history. You don't even have to leave the state of North Carolina to see these DEI policies and how they are illegal. Look at the admissions scandal with Harvard and UNC. The United States Supreme Court ruled that the admission policies of Harvard and Chapel Hill were, by definition, discriminatory. The Supreme Court ruled that. That's not my opinion on it. That's not Representative Jones's opinion on it. That was the decision from the nation's highest court, telling these two schools, and obviously permeating out to other schools as well, but telling those two top universities, your admission procedures and practices are illegal. They are discriminatory. There were major lawsuits against those two institutions of higher learning. This is what DEI has brought forward. There's this idea that because DEI has the word diversity, equity, and inclusion in it, that therefore it does all of those things. But the left is very good with their names and their acronyms. But just go back a couple of years to the aptly named Inflation Reduction Act that was passed by the Biden administration. There was no inflation reduction in that legislation. It spent hundreds of millions of dollars on a bunch of stupid pet projects like EV chargers throughout the Midwest. That was some of the important words in the Inflation Reduction Act. But because the left names it that, because they claim, well, this is what it does, therefore, it's a done deal. But when you dig into the details of something like DEI and you see how it's actually being rolled out, right? It's one thing to read it on a piece of paper. It's another thing to actually see these policies, these procedures play out in real world, in real life. And with us seeing that roll out over the last couple of years and watching this happen and unfold in front of our eyes, we've seen that it's not diverse, not equitable, and not inclusive at all. Case in point, UNC Chapel Hill and Harvard and their admissions. It was not diverse. It was not equitable. It was not inclusive. It was specifically targeting individuals and discriminating against them based on their race. Now, Democrats will say, but it's DEI. It's in the name, right? So therefore, it must be true. Yet, in practicality, it's nothing of what it's named at all. So you heard why Republicans are pushing this forward. You heard from Representative Jones. Now, obviously, Democrats adamantly against this in the North Carolina General Assembly. Over almost three hours worth of debate on this legislation Wednesday afternoon in the House, with dozens of individuals on the Democrat side of the political aisle speaking up against this. I didn't have a chance to cut all of their clips. I did pull some, and I wanted to highlight two individuals. We'll start with Representative Laura Budd, the Democrat from Mecklenburg County. She makes some interesting points and also maybe says some of the quiet parts out loud as it relates to DEI. This is what she had to say Wednesday afternoon.
I've listened and studied the women's rights movement since I was in the womb. My mom was a hippie in the 1960s in San Francisco. She used to sell her art on the streets. And she told me as a little girl, and this is what I grew up with, you can do anything that a man can do. And you are entitled to the opportunity to compete, but you are not entitled to the outcome. And that's important when it comes to considering bills like this. Confusion is deliberately sown into the words that somehow an equal opportunity must mean an equal outcome. That's not it at all. The claim is here that DEI just went too far, and therefore it should be banned. The programs are bad. Because somebody had to watch a program or listen to a speaker, and that person felt bad.
I'm going to stop Representative Budd there in her comments. She's right about exactly the issue. Just like almost everything else that the left touches, they always take it too far. This is why Democrats are struggling right now to win elections. Because everything that they touch, they, for whatever reason, need to take the ball and run 100 miles an hour with it. They can't just let things stay and work in a meaningful manner. They take everything to the most extreme degree that they touch. Why is that the case? Well, because the loudest group in the Democrat Party is the fringe radical left. Those are the people that are sending emails, making phone calls, showing up to meetings and hooting and hollering, bitching and complaining about everything that's going on. And so individuals feel the need to capitulate to this fringe radical group on the far left spectrum of the political side. So yes, that is exactly why legislation like this is being brought forward. Because once again, the left took an issue, went way too far with it, and now they're being slapped back down into reality. That is exactly why this is going on.
Well, what I'd really love to know is, who was that person that felt bad? Because that's what I never hear. That's the data that's never been presented. Those are the stories we don't hear with names, dates, programs attached to them. But they're very easy to use as a crutch to support this argument. The bill is really, I think, as a woman, about fear. Fear of real competition. Because the status quo has changed. It's changed. No longer are white men in charge all the time in every place.
Now, I'm going to stop her here because as I listen to this, and again, I don't have the ability to bring you all 3 hours of debate, and you'd probably be sick after listening to it. She claims white men are no longer in charge of everything, and white men are threatened by DEI, so that's why they're removing it. She says that, yet literally every other speaker, almost every single other speaker on the Democrat side of the aisle in Raleigh on Wednesday, consistently talked about how white men are in charge of everything. And it's, of course, those evil, awful, terrible white men that are causing all of these problems. So pick a side. You're going to claim white men are in charge of everything, or they aren't and they're threatened by DEI. It can't be both things at the same time. The left is kind of fracturing the argument here because they try to use one argument as an example and then try to use another that's they're completely counter to each other. That doesn't make any sense. From Representative Budd, white men are no longer in charge of everything, and that's why, I guess, DEI is being pushed forward, because they're so threatened by various individuals coming into leadership.
Now, understand, I don't say that because I don't like white men or I think white men are bad. I'm married to one. I have two sons. I have lots of friends. But let's make clear that the rules of the game were designed and implemented by those people in charge at the time the game was designed and people started playing it. And that's important to understand, not because anybody intended to be discriminatory or intended for disparate outcomes, but if you don't examine the rules, you can't make changes to them to improve them, to open up those opportunities for access. In other words, open the field up to real competition.
So I guess the argument is that there's not real competition right now? That workplaces, I guess in this case, state government, prior to DEI practices, were actively discriminating against people and you did not have an equal opportunity if you were a woman or of a different race? I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know that there's any evidence. None of the Democrats came with any evidence. But I've not seen any evidence to back up that claim in any meaningful way at all.
Instead of acknowledging that these barriers and obstacles still exist, and in large part unintended, they are. But they exist. And we have to dismantle them step by step. And we have to understand that's a really long progress. But instead of doing that, this bill instead uses the buzzword of the day, merit. Most people can't actually articulate what merit means without defaulting to their own privileged status.
Yes. Let's be lectured by a lefty as to what my own privileged status is. I can't define merit without looking at my own privileged status as a white male. And the definition of merit is not something that is up for debate. I mean, you look at, you can take a word like merit, go to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and look at the definition of the word. I'm not sure why I can't define merit without using my own personal privilege, as Representative Laura Budd from Mecklenburg County says. I have to be, my privilege is what's going into the definition of merit? Is there a big debate over what that word means? I wasn't aware of that. But I guess maybe my definition is no good, what I believe merit means. So let's hear what Representative Budd has to say about merit and how she defines it. Now, she's a white female, so I guess the privilege that she has there is irrelevant. My definition, your definition is wrong. Hers must be right.
Merit is a person's natural abilities and talents. It's combined with a strong work ethic and a drive for success that is then combined with the person's education and their life experiences. This is what equals a candidate for a job qualified to apply for the job. From there, it's competitive, and that requires the person in charge or the hiring panel or the board of directors or a government bureaucrat to say, you have potential. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to prove yourself, and you get the job. This is merit and being hired on merit. Notice nowhere in there was a freebie, that you got hired because you were a woman. You got hired because your skin was a different color. You got hired because you love a person of the same gender. None of that is free. You still had to earn it. The difference was the opportunity to compete for the job in the first place.
At this point, I'm not even sure what she's talking about. The argument that she's making at this point, I can't even comprehend. Is she indicating that various entities do not have hiring quotas? Because that's already been played out. That's already been defined as fact. There's no room to say, oh, well, that actually wasn't happening. No, it very much was. And I don't think there's much argument that it wasn't happening. Now, maybe the left wants to argue it. But hiring quotas were absolutely a real thing, and in many cases do still continue to be a real thing. I guess Representative Budd is not aware of that.
That is what I'm talking about. The troublesome concept here is that we have to understand not just that piece, but also how organizations are operated and managed. They often grow with a purpose, and they do so based on management decisions by those in charge, which, as I said earlier, is historically white men. Not with any rancor, none. But that's our reality. Those are the facts. That is the data. It may not tell us what we want, but we don't get to say it's not true.
Ah, yes.
And I say it after 20 years in male-dominant industries, including the North Carolina state legislature. Look around the room, folks.
Look around the room. I mean, just in this video shot, there's three women. There's four women in this picture. It's dominated all by men. Why? Because the House Speaker's a dude? How did you get into this position then, Representative Budd? If the country and the state of North Carolina is inherently so sexist and women don't have the opportunities, how are the four women that I'm looking at in this video, how do they get into their positions? How is that possible with the state and white men being as awful as they are? Look around you. Okay, I'm looking around. See four women on screen right in front of me. Go ahead. Let's see what else other great intellect she's got here.
People naturally gravitate socially and environmentally to those with whom they are familiar and they are comfortable with. People are, in fact, tribal. And we operate this way without even realizing it until we're educated and we become aware of it. And then you can make different decisions when you come to the key concepts here of recruiting, accepting applicants, designing programs, creating scholarships and opportunities for those who maybe weren't in charge and didn't get to write the original rules of the game. Organizational stability and integrity in this process are required to grow strong agencies, offices, and schools. And as a leader, you can't do this if the government comes in and ties your hands behind your back. You have to not be afraid of the competition. Not a single person in this room got here all by himself or herself. We all had help, and we all had opportunities, and we took advantage of those opportunities, and we earned where we are. It wasn't free. But you have to recognize, again, the data, and the facts are this. Some people in this room had a head start. Maybe it was that they were born a man. Maybe it was because they had legacy education and there was an expectation of going to college and money to do so. Maybe it was because of who your family is or that you had a stable childhood with parents who loved you and took care of you and made sure that you had a roof over your head and food on the table and somebody read books to you. So let's not forget that not everybody starts in the exact same spot.
Nobody is saying that. Nobody is arguing that every single person is equal. Nobody is arguing that every single person, you take a snapshot of the world, that every single person has had these same exact experiences. Nobody is arguing that fact. Everybody comes from a different background. Everybody has different life experiences. Different family life, different upbringing. Nobody is saying that's not true. Nobody is arguing that point. I don't know what she's talking about. The one thing that is true is that in America, I'm not talking about the rest of the world, in America, regardless of what your background is, regardless of what your education level is, regardless of what your race or your sex is, because you live in the United States of America, you have an equal opportunity to strive as much as you can, to strive to unbelievable highs. But it's not handed to you on a silver platter. You've got to bust your ass and work for it. And you have the opportunity to do that. But just because you have the opportunity does not mean that you're guaranteed the outcome. And I think that's where the left really struggles with this whole thing. Yes, everybody has different experiences. Do some people have a leg up over others based on a variety of factors? Yes. We're not a bunch of clones of each other. We're all individual people. We all have individual stories and individual life experiences. And is that inherently a bad thing? I mean, I guess, do we need to bring in some form of communism where every single person is equal? Where every single person works the exact same job and has no belongings at all and the government hands out your food every single night? Is that what she's saying is a better system than what we've got in America, which has allowed more individuals to gain incredible amounts of wealth than any other civilization in human history? America has. Nowhere else. America. That's, a problem for a representative, but.
So if we really want to have a level playing field, fierce competition for the most qualified candidates, and students at our universities, and employees in our agencies, we have to first acknowledge that not all of us started from the exact same spot.
Nobody's saying that.
That is what concepts and programs that say, make sure that you look in different places to hire your applicants, go hire and speak in other places where you wouldn't normally go. That's what this requires. It's education and it's awareness to ensure that the opportunities that are presented solicit to the most qualified candidates for the stiffest competition so that the best candidate prevails. That's not a free ride, and that is not discrimination. At the end, I believe in the American dream, and I believe it applies to everybody, not a chosen few, and a few lucky others who beat the odds of the stacked deck, but literally every single person it applies to. It's a bad bill because what it does is it says, look, these concepts of racism and sexism, they don't exist anymore. Unfortunately, too many of us in this room understand that that is not true, even if we want the outcome to be different.
How did you get your job?
If we want the outcome to be different, we have to do the hard work, and that is to vote no on this bill.
Well, great. Some great gaslighting there from Representative Budd. Not sure how she became elected to the North Carolina House as a woman with sexism being as strong as she claims that it is. And she obviously seemingly has a warped understanding of what DEI is, because the things that she claims are right. She says we want fierce competition in hiring. I'm in full agreement of that. That's exactly what this legislation does. It brings back the idea that you take every single candidate, look at them equally, and then determine who's got the best experience, who's got the best resume, who's got the best personality that fits with our corporate or company culture. That's what this legislation does. See, when you look at this stuff through the lens of DEI, well, then no longer is it a straight line. You are starting to give preferential treatment to certain groups of individuals based on characteristics that they don't have any control over. That's what DEI does in practice. That's what it does in practicality when you roll it out into the workplace. When you see it be implemented, that's what happens. That's what's going on here. There are dozens of examples of it within internal documents describing the process of hiring individuals. It's not a secret. It's not private. It's not a boogeyman in the closet that nobody can see. This stuff is out there for everybody to look at. It's discriminatory in its bias. It is inherently discriminatory. I want every single person that applies for a job, regardless of their age, their sex, their gender, to have an equal shot, if they are, in fact, equally qualified. Right? Because not everybody is equally qualified. Somebody that is older and has more life and work experience might be more qualified than somebody in their mid-20s. And if a company is looking for somebody that's already got 20 years of experience in a field, well, then the upper hand is going to go to the person with the experience. Hey, we can argue that we don't like that, but that's what a company wants. That's what the said company wants to do. They need somebody that can hit the ground running and has already been through the fire and the flames in their organization. Not everybody is equal. Somebody that has spent 40 years in the workplace has an upper hand on the college graduate. It's called experience. And a company has to decide what they want. Do they want the 20-year-old graduate with new ideas? Maybe so. Maybe they're trying to modernize their company. Maybe they're trying to bring new ideas into the fold. That would make a lot of sense. Instead of somebody that's already spent 40 years in an industry. So there's pros and cons. There's trade-offs. But when you start saying, well, the 20-year-old out of college checks two DEI boxes over the guy with 40 years experience, we're going to hire the college student because of the two boxes that we checked in our DEI training packet, that's a problem. That is inherently discriminatory. And the charade is over. This is another issue that the left has lost. DEI has already played out on the national stage. President Donald Trump won his election in November of 2024 with DEI being a major piece of the conversation. He talked about dismantling DEI. He brought DEI to the forefront, and he was very successful at doing so. So to the chagrin of Democrats, another issue that you guys failed to win. Another issue that you guys failed to convince the American people that you had the right ideas and the right answers on. And it's really as simple as that. We'll get into some audio from Representative Reeves, the Senate Minority Leader. He leads the Democrat caucus in the North Carolina House, coming up here in just a few minutes. Before that, I would like to tell you about our great sponsor this morning, The Law Group. When legal challenges arise, trust The Law Group in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across southeastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you need a strong defense, The Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved in a prompt fashion. Located in downtown Wilmington, they are just a phone call away at 910-251-6088. You can also check out their website, lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or online at lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication that you can rely on. And we appreciate The Law Group and the great team over there for their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. So continuing with our discussion this morning on diversity, equity, and inclusion, we heard from Representative Budd. Now let's hear from the leader of the Democrat caucus in Robert Reeves.
It does not matter when we are the state of North Carolina. It does not matter what the intent is in our hearts or the unstated intent in our minds. The question is, how do people interpret it? How do people see this and what do they think once they see this? And there's nothing we can do about that. I wish we could. I wish we could sit down with people and when we pass a bill, talk to them for days about this is actually what the bill does, this is how it works, or anything like that. But we don't. Once we put that out there, that's it.
Well, no, that's not true at all. I mean, the bill is very clear to read. It's not a complicated bill. It's only like 6 pages. But when you've got Democrats and the Democrat media in North Carolina, the News and Observer, the Charlotte Observer, McClatchy Media, the big TV networks across the state that are all full of left-wing journalists, when they lie about legislation, when Democrats pontificate for hours on end on the House floor over what is not in this bill, that's what crafts the narrative, Representative Reeves. It's not the legislation itself. It's the nonsense that is being discussed. And you even heard it from Representative Budd previously. She said, what is sewn into the words of this bill? Right? She's reading between the lines on this. She is attributing things that are not in the legislation because she believes that's the intent, even though that's not the actual verbiage that's in the legislation at all. I mean, here it is. House Bill 171. It's not a super complicated piece of legislation. It's pretty plain text to read. It's only five and a half pages. It's not an unbearable, it's not a 700-page bill. You can read through it. I would encourage you to read through it. I'll put a link to it in the show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. No state agency shall promote, support, fund, implement, or maintain workplace diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, including using DEI in state government hirings and employment, maintaining dedicated DEI staff positions or offices, or offering or requiring DEI training. Well, it's not clear about that. It's plain English. You don't need to be an expert in legislation or an expert in government to understand what that legislation reads. And as you go through the various portions of this bill, it's just as clear everywhere else. So the reason that people are misunderstanding this bill is because Democrats purposefully want them to. It's all in an attempt to push down this legislation and for the left and for Democrats to once again claim that they're the champion of another issue like DEI.
And that's who we are perceived to be. And that is heartbreaking for me as an American. Because let me tell you what I can promise you. There are a whole lot of people who some might think are DEI hires, which I've heard that term used a whole lot. Whole lot of people who are qualified as the dickens to hold their jobs and to look them in the faces and tell them you're less than. You don't matter. We think your time is over. Breaks my heart, because what made this country great is that for years we reached out and we said, I know in your country, I know where you live, I know in the places that you have dwelled that you have not had the opportunities that you deserve. You have not had the chance to be the best version of yourself. But when you cross that ocean and you get on these shores, we will give you the opportunity to be greater than anything you've ever had. And it was story after story after story of people coming here and getting that done. And for years, we were good with that. Now, all of a sudden, we want to pull that ladder up and we want to tell people, you know, well, sorry, you didn't get in here in time. Be who we claim to be. Be who we state we are. Be the people that we can be. But in the words of one of the folks that talked a little bit earlier, be unique. North Carolina has an opportunity. We have an awesome opportunity to tell people that the words that were said at the beginning, that we don't care about certain things, actually are true. And to be candid with you, we don't care. We don't have to pass this law, because DEI continues after you pass this bill. Understand that.
Oh, does
it? It's just we are making a decision that some groups are worth protecting and some groups, good luck. And that is a terrible, terrible statement to make to people. I want us to be the leaders in science, in math, in industry, in building, in working with our hands, in education, but we can't be that when we shut the door on people who just want to live the dream they got told about all of their lives.
And that's where I find myself rather confused in this whole discussion. What door is being closed? What rights are being stripped away when you say that state agencies, again, just state agencies, private businesses can do whatever the hell they want. When you say that state agencies shall no longer promote, support, fund, implement, or maintain diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, what door is being shut? I don't know what he's talking about. Every single person, regardless of their background, will have an opportunity to apply for a job and hopefully be seen as a good candidate if in fact they are, regardless of any of the Democrat issues in DEI. I don't know what doors are being shut here at all.
So I don't ask you to do this because it's going to make Robert Reeves feel better, or because it's going to make some black kids feel better, or something like that. It's not what this is about. I ask you to do this because my children and your children deserve the opportunity to make the next Apple, to make the next Amazon, to make the next IBM, to create the next industry, to be the leaders in cancer research. They deserve that opportunity. And you start this road today, you take that from them.
Oh, really?
So don't do this for me or somebody you don't know. Do it for the people that you love so they will have a chance to know and experience everything that this great country has to offer. Please vote no.
That is the quintessential definition of political gaslighting from Representative Robert Reeves. Regardless of Democrats complaining in their 3 hours of debate and attempting to masquerade this bill into something that it's not, it passed in a 69-45 party line vote. House Bill 171 has officially passed the North Carolina House. That legislation, it will now be making its way over to the North Carolina Senate, where it did pass a first reading yesterday and is likely soon to become law, or is likely soon to pass the Senate. After that, it will make its way to Governor Josh Stein's desk, where he will, of course, veto the legislation. I'm sure he'll have something to say about it. And then from there, we'll see if the General Assembly can muster up enough votes to override his veto to ban diversity, equity, and inclusion within these various state agencies. We do have some breaking news as we are on the air this morning, just happening moments ago. President Donald Trump saying that he will revoke Harvard's tax-exempt status. The president put out a post on Truth Social just about 20 minutes ago declaring that, quote, "We are going to be taking away Harvard's tax-exempt status," saying it's what they deserve. The announcement from Trump comes after Fox News reported last week that his administration had asked the Internal Revenue Service to revoke their tax-exempt status. Why is this happening? Well, Harvard, just like UNC Chapel Hill, was told that their racist, divisive, discriminatory practices that existed on campus were no longer acceptable. That if they wanted to continue receiving hundreds of millions of dollars from the federal government, if they wanted to continue with their tax-exempt status, that they needed to come in line with the new federal regulations, come in line with executive orders out of the Oval Office, and get in line. The administration at Harvard decided to give the middle finger to Trump and to the administration, and now they're paying the price. Say it with me. Actions have consequences. They do. Harvard wants to play tough. They want to be the big bad Harvard University, which the Supreme Court said, hey, you guys are illegally discriminating against individuals in admissions. Great institution, by the way. Nothing like actively discriminating against students. That's Harvard University. That's UNC Chapel Hill. You want to do that? Fine. You're going to lose out on all of this federal money. And in the case of their tax exempt status, can you imagine what Harvard's tax bill is going to be with the copious amount of money that they bring in? So there you go. Trump, again, we are going to be taking away Harvard's tax exempt status. This is a developing story. We'll keep an eye on it this morning. This just happened moments ago. And as we get details, we'll pass them along to you right here. Now, I want to briefly mention this, and we'll dive into some more of the details on Monday's show. Also last night, President Donald Trump signed an executive order to slash taxpayer funds to PBS and NPR, two media outlets that the White House accused of spreading radical woke propaganda. That was a direct quote from the White House. In Trump's executive order, he instructs the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, CPB, and other federal agencies, quote, to cease federal funding for NPR and PBS. It further requires that they work to root out indirect sources of public financing for news organizations. The White House posted in a statement on X last night, President Trump just signed an executive order ending the taxpayer subsidization of NPR and PBS, which receive millions from taxpayers to spread radical woke propaganda disguised as news. That's it. The broadcasters get roughly $500 million in public money through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and have been preparing for the possibility of stiff cuts since Trump's reelection. Promises made, promises kept. We'll get into more details on this Monday morning. We do have to roll out of here today. I will be on State Lines, PBS North Carolina. All jokes aside, 8:30 tonight. We've got a great lineup. DEI will be one of the discussions as well tonight in Raleigh for the PBS show State Lines, 8:30 on PBS North Carolina. You can watch it on their website or stream it on YouTube as well. Have maybe some clips on that coming up Monday morning as well right here on the show. Well, that's going to do it for a Friday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending part of your week here with us. Thanks again to the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support of the program. Have a great weekend. We are back with you Monday morning live, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, and X, and of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend.